making Christmas simple again. To be honest, Christmas really shouldn't be that complicated, should it? If we just listen and take to heart what the kids just sang about and talked about in the narration. Take Christmas back from the worldly notion of the season and put our focus on Jesus, because Jesus means Christmas. That fact is a simple fact. And if we do what Pastor David's already talked about in the first few weeks, spend less on the worldly ideals, want less what the world has to offer, we will be able to give more to those God has called us to give more to, more of our time, our talents, money, whatever it is. And today, we're going to take a look at how we can also worship more. So now we're going to focus on Christ in the manger. And we're going to worship like probably Mary and those did so many years ago. At least I hope that's what's in store for us. We're going to go to the scriptures just a little bit. We're going to open to Luke chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 8. Now, you know what amazes me? Well, there's many things about the scriptures that amazes me. But today in particular, last week David looked at parts of this. And we learned about giving and the gift that God gave us last week from these same scriptures. But today we're going to look at them and talk about worship. How powerful is the Word of God that so much teaching, so many different angles, so much different stuff to look at can be found in just 13 verses? Think about all that is in these 13 verses we're about to go over, and then think about the whole Bible. God's Word is powerful. God's story is powerful. And we're going to learn as we go through next year, as Pastor David already remembered, how powerful just the New Testament itself is. So when you look at these verses, look at all the different stuff that is packed in here. But Luke chapter 2, verse 8, we're going to start there. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared around them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. We're going to stop right there for just a second, because the shepherds teach us just in those two verses the first part of worshiping God, the first thing we need to do when we worship God. Now, originally I chose the word respect, but I want to change that after I woke up this morning and prayed about it. I want to change it to the word reverence, because respect, we respect each other. I respect the Tilfords as not only friends now, but as teachers as I was growing up. I have really respect for many of you for many different things that you do and some of the stuff you put up with. Many parents for the patience you have with some of your children. I respect all of that. But with God, it needs to be a little more. It needs to be a deeper respect, a deeper honor. So I want to change that first word from respect to reverence. So the first one is reverence. They had reverence for God. They didn't just, yes, they were terrified. So right there, you know, they respect who God is, what the angels could do, that they could, in fact, be instantly killed right there and then. They respected, they had reverence for God, His power, and His, in this case, servants, the angels that were brought down to Him. We need to have reverence for Him as the Almighty God and Lord over everything. We need to have the deepest respect. Now, from respect, the shepherds now teach us a second part of worshiping more. And that is, well, let's just look at it. Go on from chapter or verse 10 there. But the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You'll find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those whom with God is pleased. So here we have the angels talking on behalf of God and telling the shepherds the great news. And the shepherds are doing what? Texting? Tweeting? Having side conversations? Calling someone up, check it out. No, they were listening to what God, via the angels, were telling them. That's the lesson. That's the second thing we need to do if we want to worship more. We not only need to have reverence, but we must listen to what God, to what our Lord has to tell us. do we take the, so the question I have for you is, do we take the time in our Bible reading and prayer times to listen to what God is telling us? Do we put our phones down? Do we ignore social media long enough or make time to hear what that small voice of God is trying to guide us through or help us through or teach us? Or do we even listen for God loving on us? If we're not, how can we possibly be ready to worship more? Now, some of you are saying, Pastor, the Bible there doesn't specifically say they were listening. True enough. But one, if a host of angels shows up in a field in front of you as you're driving down the road or as you're walking one night, would you listen? And two, go ahead and look at the next two verses. Verse 15, when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that the Lord has told us about. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. How do we know they listened? Simple. And it's the third thing we have to do. They acted. We must act on what we hear. They respected. They had reverence for God. They listened to what the angels told them, and they took off for Bethlehem. They ran, they walked, whatever they did, they got there. They didn't hesitate. That's what they teach us. That's the third thing. We have to be willing to act on what that still small voice of God tells us and puts on our hearts. The angels came, told the good news, and the shepherds do what? They listened and they hurried off. They did what the angels told them to do to see the baby. No hesitation, no debate, no overthinking, and most importantly, no, they didn't bother getting the world's opinion. They just went. They acted. God told them something, and they did it. So another question for us today is, if this Christmas we're putting less into the worldly side of Christmas, what is God challenging all of us to put more of ourselves into? If we're doing less in the world with the worldly side of Christmas, what is God asking each and every one of us to put more of ourselves into? And are you ready to act on that? The final thing the shepherds are teaching us about, well, we need to look at those last few verses there in chapter 2, starting at 17. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened, and when the angel had said to them, and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel told them. The shepherds met Jesus, and they left telling everyone about the angels, the journey, and the baby, our baby, or Jesus, our Savior, rather. No holding back and no fear about telling this story. They know in their hearts they have to share the good news and tell everyone about Jesus. That's the fourth and final teaching about what we need to do to worship more. The shepherd's story teaches us we must share Jesus with any and all people we may meet. Now, that may mean striking up a conversation with a stranger on a plane, or that may mean just beginning a relationship with someone new and waiting for the opportunity. Or it may just mean letting the love of God shine through us so somebody can see something different about us. And then they will want to learn more about our Savior. If we are going to worship more, we got to share Jesus more this Christmas. Now, I told you earlier this year when we talked about worship in a sermon that my favorite definition comes from the 1828 Webster's Dictionary. The definition of worship is to honor with extravagant love and extreme submission. The four things we just talked about, respect, listen, act, and share. If you do those four things daily, you are worshiping. But I have a simple way to remember those first four letters, R-L-A-S, to remember this. And it's a great definition of worship too. And it is simple. Real love always shines. Real love always shines. Isn't that worship? If in every part, every facet of our lives, we love God so much, we make Him a priority, We do everything to show God's love to the world. Are we not worshiping? Real love always shines. We just got to let the love of Jesus shine through us in everything we do. And we will be worshiping in everything we do. We all need to worship more this Christmas. And in fact, we need to carry it through the whole year. On Friday, Paul, Tiana, and I, before the icy rain hit, went and saw the 1947 movie Miracle on 34th Street. How many liked that movie? Yeah, we went and saw it at the Virginia Theater. It was great to see it on the big screen. But as I was sitting there, there's the scene where he's sitting in the office talking to Mrs. Walker, and she tells him that they decided to keep him on. And he says, "Oh, Christmas isn't just a day. It's a frame of mind. And that's what's been changing." As I sat there and thought about that quote, God said, "Sorry to interrupt your movie, but I want you to add something to your sermon." And he said, "Let's change that quote. It's the right thought, but let's just change it just a little bit." So instead, the quote should read, "Oh, worship isn't just an activity done on Sundays in church. It's a frame of mind, changing how we live our lives." Worship isn't just an activity done on Sundays in church. It's a frame of mind, changing how we live our lives. Folks, we must start now, this Christmas, making Christmas simple again. Give more. Worship more. Take a look at this video, please.
Christmas time was approaching. Starting to fall, shoppers choosing their presents, people filling the mall, children waiting for Santa with excitement and glee. Little boy tucked my sweater, looked up and asked me,
lines right here today. The lines at the feet of Jesus. Whether it's at the manger, whether it's at the cross, the line forms at the feet of Jesus. Psalms 95:6 tells, Psalms 95:6 tells us, "Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, we are the people He watches over, the flock under His care." Worshiping more. It's all about the baby Jesus. Don't just know Christ. Don't just know Christ. We need to come and worship. We need to come and worship. Who's with me today? Amen. Our invitation song, we're going to sing in just a second, is "O Come All Ye Faithful." I love that song. And of course, the chorus has the line, "O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him. Christ the Lord." Now, today we've used that word adore. We've kind of watered it down. I adore this sports team, or I adore this, I'm a fan, I adore this individual, this singer, whatever. But that's not at all what this song intended it to mean. Adore means worship. Come, let us worship Him. Oh, come, let us worship Him. Oh, come, let us worship Him. Christ the Lord. If you're ready to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior today, then come forward. Now is the time. The line starts here today. And let's begin worshiping Him more this Christmas. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for this wonderful day You've given us, this wonderful chance to worship in Your house. More importantly, the musical the kids put on and what it really means. Jesus means Christmas. That's what it's all about. I ask that You be with us as we leave here today. That we remember that it's okay to enjoy Christmas. It's okay to have family and friends over. It's okay to share and give and love on one another. But as we do that, we don't let that take the priority. That we keep You first. So that when we give less of that, we can give more. And we can worship more. And we can keep Christ at the center as the reason for the season. We praise You. We worship You. We thank You. We adore You. It's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen.